this segment. Just before we do, I have a musical treat for everybody. I'm not sure what this kid's name is. I got to find it, though. Give him credit. Sweeping the nation, the new pop hit called The List. Let's watch.
Hey, you got your bucket list, your grocery list, your list of things to do. You got a list of all your wishes. That's a wish list, dude. You got your Amazon and Santa Claus and Tooth Fairy, too. But I know a list that don't exist, and buddy, so do you. It's the Epstein list, it's a mystery list, but the twist is a myth of a list that we all just missed. Be an optimist, not a pessimist. If you wish to persist, it's probably best you forget that list. Now what were we talking about? I don't remember, but I sleep a lot better at night. Yeah, life can just go along, knowing there's 10,000 hours of sunshine and flowers, and nobody doing a damn thing wrong. Hear no, see no, damn Bongino, cash to tell. Well, I wouldn't want to be sweating men with bulging eyes. Now tell me them fellas ain't compromised. Do, 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 any implicated dude will tell you. Anybody on the big list knows just how far the folks in charge will go to keep the status quo. So when the war bell rings, the song that they'll sing is a song that we well know. I hope, I hope. So it's off to war I go. Well, they said it's gonna fix it, but now they're all complicit. They owe, they owe, they owe, they owe, they owe. So it's off to war we go. Send the poor off to war. What else are we for? They owe, they owe, they owe.
That was incredible. Jesse Wells. Jesse Wells on TikTok. J-E-S-S-E-W-E-L-L-E-S. That's Jesse Wells with an E-S on the end of Wells. That was great. That was so good. I got to find more of this guy's stuff. That was just awesome. All right. Out to your phone calls now. We'll go first to Dennis in Florida. Thank you for calling in. Dennis, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. I've talked to you a couple times before, and I'm the guy that's behind the plans for New America and the Global Republic. 10 Americas based on the original U.S. Constitution. But I do have to say that I was running for president in 2016 as a libertarian, and I used "It's time to make America great again, less evil rule" in the bottom of my campaign speech, and I dropped out to support Trump. And sure enough, right away, they started using MAGA, and that came from me, guys.
Mm.
So it's time that I come on the show now. You've got to have me on.
Well, you're on right now.
Alex,
I mean, I know Ronald Reagan used "Make America Great Again" in the 80s
as
one of his statements. Yeah, yeah. So it's a great statement.
Gubernatorial campaign.
So, but what do you think is happening with the Trump administration? I mean, how has it gone so far off the rails?
Well, I think that he's compromised. Unfortunately, something's gone wrong with Epstein. We all know that that's the heart of the Hydra. That they control the world governments and science through that mechanism of blackmail, through sexual misbehavior, however you want to term it. So we're caught in this conundrum, and we have to unite now, guys. Everyone knows who I am. I had college scores at 6, but what they don't know is I'm very devout to Christ. It's time for us to come together now, guys. This is it. I'm here to do this. We make the 10 Americas now based on the original U.S. Constitution. The elite can have Antarctica. The plans that I have cover everything and will pay for everything. We're going to use bonds to cover our debt and asteroid mining to back the bonds. We'll have a new world dollar that'll actually work. We'll be able to connect the dots forward and backward with my shutdown when the electricity fails. They're trying to kill us. We know what they're doing. Yeah. The jig is up. So now we unite.
The jig is up. I don't know, man. I mean, we need something drastic. Again, I
just have me on the show, Harrison.
I would like
to end it.
I'm sure right now. All right. Thank you for the call, Dennis. We'll be back with more calls on the other side. Stay tuned. Third hour of American Journal continues on the other side of this short commercial break. Make sure to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we do here. Thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a knife. Stab your enemies. Make America great again. We'll be right back.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. The Pope is now calling for an immediate ceasefire after Israel struck the only Catholic church in Gaza, killing two and injuring several others. An Israeli strike on Gaza's only Catholic church killed two people on July 17th, according to the Latin Patriarch in Jerusalem. The Israeli military stated it does not target religious sites and is investigating the incident. Oh, well, good. Oh, well, okay then. One of the things, isn't it? They say they don't target religious institutions every time they bomb a religious institution. Isn't that amazing? So, one Catholic church in Gaza, it apparently, the Pope used to call them every day during the bombardment of Gaza. And apparently the priest that Pope Francis would speak to, so it's from Muhammad Shahada. Israel just bombed the very Gazan church Pope Francis used to call daily during the genocide. They injured the very priest, Gabriel Romanelli, who used to update the Pope on the situation. Two churchgoers were killed, six wounded. This comes after last week when Israel firebombed one of the oldest churches in existence, a place where Jesus himself ministered. Israel strikes in Damascus as Syrian forces clashed with Druze groups as that conflict continues. And Israel continues to just viciously attack everyone around them with no end in sight, including the countries like Syria, who were overthrown by a partnership between NATO, Israel, and Turkey, has now been doing everything it possibly can to help Israel, including allowing it to take over and militarize the Golan Heights. But it's just not enough. But it's not quite enough. And so now Damascus is being bombed. This would be like us. This would be like America bombing the Canadian Parliament building. It's like, we're not enemies, we're not at war, but we are neighbors, so. Oh, yeah, no, we actually, this is an older story. Is this updated today? Okay, I was kind of confused at this. New U.S. assessment finds American strikes destroyed only one of three Iranian nuclear sites. One of the three nuclear enrichment sites in Iran struck by the United States last month was mostly destroyed, setting work back significantly, but two others were not as badly damaged and may have been degraded only to a point where nuclear enrichment could resume in the next several months if Iran wants it. According to a recent U.S. assessment of the destruction caused by the military operation, five current and former U.S. officials familiar with the assessment told NBC News. The assessment, part of Trump's administration's ongoing effort to determine the status of Iran's nuclear program since the facilities were struck, was briefed to some U.S. lawmakers, Defense Department officials in allied countries in recent days, four of those people said. And again, this is not a surprise. We've been saying this since the day it happened. And it wasn't even necessarily about the nuke sites, whether they were hit or not, even though we told you that they weren't destroyed. material had been moved. It had all been orchestrated and coordinated and had been a big show. But see, they hadn't overthrown the Iranian regime and installed a puppet, so they're not done. That's really as simple as it is. So they have a goal, which is to utterly decapitate Iran and have it become Syria 2.0 or be put under the control of the American puppet.
I just came up with a brilliant idea.
King of Iran. What's your brilliant idea?
We just disguise all the nuclear sites as churches.
There you go. And then they can get bombed. That could work.
We get two birds stoned at the same time.
I could see it. Yeah, no, it turns out it's a lot easier to destroy churches than nuclear sites. Who knew? So that's their ultimate goal. So their ultimate goal is to eradicate the Iranian leadership and turn Iran into Syria or Gaza 2.0 or whatever. But they didn't do that. They didn't achieve that. So obviously they have to keep going. They're not going to stop. They're not going to slow down. They don't actually want peace. They want destruction. They want the Greater Israel Project. They want World War III. And so they're going to have to keep attacking. Well, you can't just attack without an excuse. So they're going to need an excuse. So therefore, the nuke sites didn't get destroyed. You see what I mean? We could tell the nuke sites didn't get destroyed because the powers that be need an excuse to go to war, and that's the excuse that they're going to use. None of this is a surprise. NBC News has also learned the U.S. Central Command has developed a much more comprehensive plan to strike Iran that would have involved hitting three additional sites in an operation that would have stretched over several weeks instead of a single night, according to current U.S. official and two former U.S. officials. President Trump was briefed on that plan, but it was rejected because it was at odds with his foreign policy instincts to extract the United States from conflicts abroad, not dig deeper into them, as well as the possibility of a high number of casualties on both sides, both of the current officials and one of the former officials said. So, I mean, that's good news. And, you know, obviously that would have been the plan that they were pushing for. Obviously, Israel wanted America involved against Iran in a very big way. And it would have been a very different situation if we had weeks of bombing on Iran rather than a single bombing campaign that we didn't even find out about until it was already over. So good on Trump not getting us involved in a quagmire in the Middle East. Still doesn't mean I'm happy with his bombing of Iran, but we knew from the beginning that the whole point was to get America involved in a war with Iran in a very real way, not just with a offhanded bombing one time. And so since they didn't achieve that, they're going to have to go for it a different way. So obviously they're going to need there to be nuclear material. So that's what's being reported now. Hope everybody understands that. We'll go out to your calls again. I don't know if there's any more information in this article was just delivered to me. The U.S. strikes targeted three enrichment sites, Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. U.S. officials believe the attack on Fordo, which has long been viewed as a critical component of Iran's nuclear ambitions, was successful in setting back Iranian enrichment capabilities by as much as 2 years. Honestly, who cares? It's not about the nuclear sites, and it never was. So they're going to come up with whatever they need to say to get us into war. The point is war, not the nuclear sites. Let's go to your calls now. Let's go to Matt in Ohio on line 3. Has a unique take on the Epstein debacle. Go ahead. You're on the air. Matt in Ohio. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Is my audio good?
You sound all right.
All right. Thank you. First of all, I have to look at it with Occam's razor making the least amount of assumptions. So in my mind, that leads me to there's either intelligence that Trump can't let the world know. And no one's talking about, you know, what is the CIA, and no one's asked Tulsi to, you know, gather information.
That's a good point.
And what if, you know, not going out too conspiratorial here, but what if what's really going on, the worst of it, is something that would shake up the foundation, like, you know, satanic ritualistic. And as bad as, you know, what is obvious, you know, child peddling and whatnot, that's bad enough. But And who else is involved? We have strong indications that the Israeli intelligence has something to do with it.
You know, somebody actually put a question forward that made me, like, I don't know, it made me rethink the whole thing. Here's a question for parents out there. And, you know, you could incorporate it to whatever your relationship status is. But would you, if you could make a deal, have the Epstein, everything about the Epstein list and its operations uncovered and made public? It would all be made public. It would all be an open book for everybody. So you'd be absolutely guaranteed to be the real information. But you had to sacrifice your kids. Would you do it? I wouldn't. Sorry. As much as I, you know, understand the implications of Epstein, my kids are more important to me. Sorry. That's just how it is. So I don't know. That put it in a perspective for me. Again, I'm not saying that's necessarily what's happening, but it's probably something like that, right? It's probably like, yeah, you can release the documents, Trump, but then we're going to nuke Iran, you know, or then we're going to, you know, kill Trump. Maybe they'll just kill him. But, you know, that is why, this is why blackmail works. This is why this intimidation works, because you're dealing with ruthless, violent intelligence agents who aren't just willing to, like, start wars. They literally have. They're doing it right now. Okay? So that to me has been one of the only things that's made me sort of go, maybe Trump's in more of a difficult position than we give him credit for. And maybe it's not so easy to make this decision. Of course I want the Epstein files released. In a moment, of course I would. If it meant that my kids were sacrificed for it? Hell no. I don't know what the situation is with Trump, but even if it's not a threat, even if it's not blackmail, if the situation is, hey, you release the Epstein files and all these businesses are going to go down and all these banks are going to go down, all the, you know, CEOs of all these companies are going to go down, and the economy is going to crash, and that's going to cause widespread starvation and devastation. And, you know, there could be a situation where he's weighing the pros and cons and he's going, yeah, I want to put the list out, but look at what it would cause. Look at the damage it would have. And I do think there's a case to be made that you got to weigh the pros and cons. And what I'm saying here is not even contradictory to anything that I've said before, because as I've said, I started the show on Monday talking about how they could have handled this. It's not even necessarily about the fact that they're not releasing the list. It is the abysmal way that they're handling this. There are ways to do it. There are ways to release what you can about Epstein, downplay it a little bit, explain to people why it can't be released. As I've done on this show multiple times, there would be ways to do it. It's not even necessarily that it's like, hey, he's the president, he's having to make difficult decisions, and this is the decision that he made, and we're all outraged. It's the fact that he's saying that it doesn't exist, that they're gaslighting us, telling us this is a Democratic hoax. It's the outrageous lies that they're telling in an effort to get away with not releasing the list that is really the thing that matters here. But again, I thought that was an interesting question. People saying, hey, you're so willing to be cavalier about releasing the list. What if in exchange, you know, a loved one of yours had to pay the ultimate price? Suddenly the list isn't all that important when you're talking about human lives. I don't know. But that question did make me think a little bit. Let's go to James in Oregon, because he, I think, is reflecting what I was just talking about in terms of the blackmail, or de facto blackmail, that Israel is holding over Trump's head. Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Good morning.
Howdy.
And I just thought that, you know, if Israel is ran by the Mossad, and, you know, if Epstein was one of their agents, and probably have everyone in their government in their back pocket, on that blackmail list. And if they released it, I'm sure Israel wouldn't want that. So they'd probably threaten Trump with launching nukes in every direction they could think of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only option that makes sense to me, why they wouldn't release it. They all look like they have guns in their head.
Yep. Yep, I completely agree. Israel holding a World War III over the head of Trump, or economic collapse, right? I mean, that could be the thing. I mean, the Fed and the BlackRock, I mean, all these guys are diehard Zionists who are willing to use their power to achieve their end. So, you know,
I assume the Rothschilds owned Israel anyway, and that they would just flip the board over if the game wasn't working in their favor.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Thank you for the call, James. Let's go to Daryl in North Carolina, talking about some of the weird weather situations around the globe. Go ahead, Daryl, you're on the air.
Hey, I think you guys are right on target about that Zionist thing. They seem to be the strongest mafia right now.
Yeah.
And we are aware of the floods that have happened in this country, but dude, how about this? Within the last week and a half, Beijing, Moscow, and New York City have been hit with once-in-a-lifetime floods that happen the same thing. They get a month's worth of rain in 2 hours.
Mm.
So what I'm thinking is, who's dominating right now? Really, the Israelis, the Zionists. They're dominating not just the Middle East, but our own governments, not here, but also in Europe. And what if they're the ones that control these weather weapons? Because if China, Russia, and us are getting hit at the same time, to me, that's somebody saying, hey, look what we got. Look what we can do at any time. Now let's negotiate.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought. I didn't know about the floods in Moscow.
Two days ago.
I always have a hard time determining whether, like, what we're experiencing is actually unique or whether it's just being reported on a lot. You know, I've told the story before, like, you think there's a lot of, like, plane crashes happening right now, but then you can go back and look at lists on Wikipedia and it's like, wait, 45 planes crashed in 2019? I didn't hear about any one of those. So, you know, it's like, okay, it does seem right now there's flooding in New Mexico. Obviously, the flooding in Texas is completely insane. There's flooding in North Carolina. There's flooding in New York with the subways filling up. I guess there's flooding in Beijing and Moscow. I hadn't heard of that. It seems unique. This seems unprecedented. This seems like out of the ordinary, but is it? I don't really know. I don't really know if it is. Now, that being said, that does remind me of something that I wanted to mention earlier when we were talking about the Palisades that burned down in California being rebuilt to be low income housing in a smart city, and how the same thing happened in Lahaina. Whether it's weather or wars, this has become a very useful technique and tactic for the globalists, where they are having trouble getting their finger holds or getting their footholds in some of these communities that they want to take over and reimagine in their own design. And so they just destroy them. And there's a very distinct similarity between the way this happens with weather and the way this happens with war. So a Senate bill that would have turned Lost Palisades homes into affordable housing put on pause. That's good. Apparently the outrage from people figuring out what they were trying to do has caused them to pause that policy. But we'll see. But when you look at what people say about the wars that are being waged around right now, they have the same response as they do to natural disasters, right? You've got the Palisades burning down, and they go, oh, this is a great opportunity to build a smart city. The, you know, Lahaina burning down. Well, what a great opportunity we have to rezone this into low income. And they do exactly the same in the wars that they wage. So I just searched Ukraine smart city, Gaza smart city. Ukraine's capacity for reconstruction to advance with World Bank support. The World Bank announced a $750 million support package through supporting reconstruction through smart fiscal governance that aims to assist the government of Ukraine in improving its public investment management system at the central level and enhancing public financial management and fiscal government at local and regional levels. And we've talked about this before. You've got the World Bank, Goldman Sachs, a number of other globalist institutions that are, you know, announcing their plans for Ukraine rebuilding once it's all destroyed, right? First, they'll destroy it, and then they'll rebuild it. Of course, all the people there will be killed, so they'll have to, you know, import a bunch of people. So they'll import a bunch of foreigners. They'll have a very diverse an eclectic population, all under the control of a centralized digital smartphone-based government for the profit of Goldman Sachs and under the direction of the World Bank. And they're doing the same thing in Gaza. So in a very real way, this is a very simple and very easy to understand process, attack pattern that the globalists go through. It was funny because I forgot how my wife asked it yesterday. But obviously, you know, conspiracy theories about especially things like the Texas floods are running rampant. And my wife is like, so are they doing the, I can't remember how she asked it. She was like, are they just, you know, would they just do this to like punish people they don't like? Like when it comes to weather weapons, why would they use weather weapons the way that they're using them? It's just to hurt people because they think Trump supporters live in the country, so they're destroying the country. And I just said, no, it's to clear out land for redevelopment into low-income housing in smart cities. She was just like, oh, right. Right? It's like no explanation needed. It's like it just makes perfect sense. It just clicks, right? It's like, why, they would burn down this place? They would, it's like, well, they want to buy the land cheap, so they're destroying the land to buy it up cheap to rebuild it as low-income, you know, single multifamily units and, you know, Section 8 housing for their smart city agenda. It's like, oh, right. Okay, that makes perfect sense. No further elaboration necessary. Perfectly understandable why and how they're doing this. The state and a smartphone are how Zelensky's digital dream is coming true. Amid 9 years of war and over 365 days of ongoing full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Ukrainian government has managed to implement significant digital reforms that have transformed the country's economy, governance, and public services. Moreover, all these efforts have made Ukraine one of the global leaders in digitization process speed. It was the first country in the world to officially recognize a digital ID as a legal document, and the first country to implement a digital COVID-19 certificate in Europe, ranked sixth in Europe for open data, and took fourth place in the number of qualified IT specialists. So they're going to rebuild Ukraine as a smart country in line with the C40 cities and the 15-minute zones, ULEZ restrictions like they have in the UK. And they're going to do the same thing to Gaza, building Gaza as a smart city, a vision for peace and prosperity. It was published in June. A vision rooted in hope. Rebuilding Gaza as a smart city is more than a technological project. It's a symbol of hope. It's a commitment to give people access to clean energy, digital services, safe and modern homes, efficient transport, smart schools, hospitals, and most importantly, a chance at dignified life. Well, you could just stop killing them. You could do that. But suffice it to say, you know, whether this is the intention of the people starting these catastrophes or whether this is just opportunistic seizing of an opening by the powers that be, it's a pretty well-established pattern at this point that you have some sort of disaster, a war, a man-made catastrophe, or a natural, so-called natural disaster. It destroys huge portions of the land, and they then claim that land to build smart cities and digitize from the ground up. It could just be a coincidence. Could just be opportunism. Or it could be the Hegelian dialectic at work. I guess it's up to whether you believe in conspiracies or not.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs. It embroils America into something that could last a decade. Right? He knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go shine on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all. Dealers are created equal, not our brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate, zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion and do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right. Only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors. Only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Folks, after your phone calls, once again, let's go to William in Dallas. William in Dallas, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with an allegory for us about Trump. Go ahead, William.
Good morning. Well, everyone knows the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, and in the beginning of the movie, Bilbo gives a speech. And just like Trump, he welcomes everyone, thanks everyone. And then he surprises everyone by saying, I know all of you half as well as I like, but I like half of you half as well as you deserve.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd just goes silent. And everyone's just wondering what in the world is going on. And that's where we're at right now. And the Alex Joneses, the Gandalfs of the world, are saying, we're not trying to rob you. We're trying to help you.
Right.
And thank God we have someone like that. And that's how the American people feel. And the next generation is going to pick up the torch, and we're going to go all the way to Mount Doom and destroy this new world order. And it's probably going to be Christ itself who does that. But we're going to have to carry the torch until that moment arises.
Yeah, that is really funny. And in the books, it's even more, you know, it explains it even more, where Gandalf actually casts his spell, right? When he realizes what Bilbo's doing when he's about to disappear by putting the ring on, and he casts his spell. So there's like a flash of light. And so people think, oh, this was just, you know, an illusion, a magic trick. So they don't know that he actually went invisible because Gandalf doesn't want, you know, the knowledge of the ring to get out. I don't know. I think there's something there. There's something to that of, Trump acting recklessly and maybe not understanding the powers that he's up against and the Gandalfs of the Alex Joneses of the world, like Gandalf, trying to help him while also defeat him in a way. Not defeat him, but just, you know, get him on the right path, get him out of his delusion. And he seems to be operating under. I don't know, man. It's really inexplicable. It really is. I don't understand what Trump thinks he's doing here, and he's only making it worse with every iteration, and it's not getting any clearer, and it's not going away, and we're certainly not going to drop it. And now the Democrats are on it. Now the Democrats are jumping on the meat and having a feeding frenzy. So it just completely created his own problem from whole cloth. Never had to be
back
an issue.
On the menu, boys.
Yeah, right. All right, maybe we'll need talk. A king. Thank you very much for that, William. Let's go to Mitch in Cape Cod now. Go ahead, Mitch. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, are we coming through all right?
Yes, sir. A little. Are you out on the? Are you on the ocean right now?
I'm on the back of a boat, Harrison. I'm on the lobster boat today. I just wanted to let you guys that your Mescaline Blue product is absolutely unbelievable. I've been working 18, 20 hours a day. I had to put a drop in my Red Bull yesterday, but boy, that's the first time I've had to do that. And I'll tell you what, it really starts the fire up. I wanted to talk to you about Trump and these Epstein files. I mean, it's pretty clear that first file we got, you know, that leak on Twitter or Reddit, wherever anyone saw it, you know, that was probably the real list, right? I mean, all those celebrities and everything. Why was that denied so long?
You know, there have been a couple of lists that have come out and black books that have been published and this sort of thing. So, you know, it's not even really necessarily about the client list. It's more about the evidence that was collected. It's the terabytes of information and the videos and the photos and the communications that we're talking about. So there have been lists that were put out. Lists don't really prove anything. I mean, everybody in politics has a client list. Everybody. I had my aunt was a fundraiser for the Republicans for years. She hasn't done it in like 20 years. But at one point I was helping her to reorganize her office. And I found her little black book, her client list. And it's cool because it's like, oh, look, it's the home addresses of every living president. Oh, look, it's, all of the billionaires that have ever donated to Republicans. So lists aren't necessary. I mean, it's not a conviction having a list or, you know, being on a list is not necessarily indicative of anything bad. It's all of the information, all of the evidence, all of the collected data and documents and videos and photos and communications and phone calls and text messages and emails that went around and the financial networks that funded him and paid for all of his stuff. That's the stuff that we want. The list of clients is not as informative as we would like. That's what I'd say about that. What's your take there, Mitch?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see those videos, but I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that. I mean, I think he's in with them, you know, Zionism and everything. I think, you know, everyone, you know, all my friends voted for him, everyone's kind of regretting it. I hope we see a change here. I hope he does something because, you know, he's such an absolute hammer. I mean, his press conferences and everything. And, you know, the shout out to Caroline Leavitt, you know, she's just unbelievable. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better press secretary.
She is
keep
very
doing
good.
Great work, Harrison. You're getting better every day, man. Your show's awesome. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you, man. And, I'm jealous of you living in Cape Cod. Where in Cape Cod are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Don't eat a lobster. I'm right at the bridge.
I have a family in Orleans. It's a very, very, very beautiful part of the country. Thank you for the call, Mitch, and stay safe out there. Let's go to Kevin in Kentucky now. Wants to talk about the Epstein files. Go ahead, Kevin. You're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, so I think really the Epstein operation 2.0 is pretty much over, and I think it's going just like they wanted it to. I mean, they kind of peed in the pool. So basically at this point, anything they release I mean, who's the credible news? Are we gonna really believe anything Pam Bondi releases or Cash Patel? I mean, what are we really going to believe? It's kind of like we already know the truth. And unfortunately, for the victims, we have to kind of roll with that because they're never going to really give us the meat and potatoes, I don't believe. And that the silver lining to that is I think it's exposing Israel, really, that how our government is controlled. So yeah. It is kind of it's kind of a check in the belt buckle on the InfoWar. It's good for us in the knowledge point, but I don't think we're ever going to get anything. And Trump, he's a man, and that's what he is. And he has grandkids and kids and assets that, you know, he's got to be looking after too. And just looking at him, he looks beat down anymore when I see him. So there's something that's gotten to him. I'm sure of it. But like I said, I mean, even if they release the truth, are we really going to believe it based on who it's coming from?
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's exactly right. I believe I made that point Monday that, like, and we're never going to get a list, and anything that we got would be manufactured for a certain reason. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they came out with a list of you know, Epstein's clients, and it's all, you know, Israel anti-Israel activists, right? They're like, oh, gee, it turns out Mahmoud Khalil or whatever that guy's name is, he was on the Epstein list, and Zohar Mamdani, he's on the Epstein list. Gee, what do you know? Turns out we have to go around and arrest all the anti-Israel people because they were on the Epstein list. Yeah, we're not getting the Epstein list. We're never going to get the Epstein list. But you're right. It's not even about the Epstein list. It's about whether or not we're in control of our country, or if another country is, whether elite people in this country can be protected, even if they're pedophiles and rapists and kidnappers, or whether we have the rule of law, whether nobody is above the law, or whether, well, a certain type of person is above the law, actually. And we will, you know, bend, we will go to the ends of the earth, and we will destroy our own country to protect them from ever being held to account for their activities. I think you're exactly right. I don't have a lot of hope that we'll get anything. Anything that we do get, I won't trust. What I would trust would be people going to jail. I think Owen said this on the show yesterday. I saw a post. I didn't watch the video of it, but I agree with the sentiment of the only hope for Trump now is some high-profile arrests. A lot of them. A lot of hope, high-profile arrests. I mean, if by the end of the year, I'd settle with three. If we could have three high-profile arrests of the people that we know have committed crimes against humanity, I'd be willing to stay on the Trump train. And that being said, I don't know how you can regret your vote for Trump. I mean, what's happening with Epstein is just baffling and confusing, mostly because Trump was the one pushing Epstein during the campaign. I mean, he's on video saying we'll release the documents. He's the one that put Cash Patel and Dan Bongino in charge. They're the ones who said the whole reason they were going was to release this information. So this isn't even like we told you so. It's like Trump was the one that was pushing Epstein. He's the one that's bungled all of this. This is inexplicable. It doesn't make any sense. The way he handled Iran turns out to have been pretty masterful. You have to admit, I don't think anybody out there was as, you know, heartbroken or, you know, felt as betrayed or as critical as I was of Trump's Iranian attack. But yeah, I got to admit, it didn't spiral into wider war. It was what it took at that point to stop the, you know, outbreak of that conflict. When you had Israel bombing it for weeks on end, you know, Trump put an end to that. You got to give him credit for that. So, you know, I think it's kind of ridiculous to say, like, Trump is doing everything that Israel wants him to, but clearly they have a stranglehold. Clearly this Epstein thing is a major wedge issue that's exposing more and more of that. But I don't know how you can regret your vote for Trump. I mean, is there any world where Kamala Harris is putting us in any better situation? I mean, would we not say what you want about the lack of mass deportations? Some numbers show that the number of illegal immigrants is actually significantly lower, like millions of people have left this country. So Some of them have deported. A lot of them have self-deported. That's actually been a pretty successful movement. Regardless, if Kamala Harris was in charge, we wouldn't have had to, we wouldn't have deported anybody, and there'd be a million more people in our country in the last 6 months. At least 2 million, maybe, depending on how rapidly they could get in here. And then there's the pardoning of the January Sixers, of course, on top of that. The tariffs are having success as well. Manufacturing is returning to America, from Coca-Cola to Dell to all the, you know, Honda and all these big corporations investing billions and billions of dollars in American manufacturing to get around the tariffs. And they say, yeah, it's the tariffs that are making us do this. Coke putting cane sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup. They say this is to get around the tariffs to Mexico. So I don't know how you can regret voting for Trump or act like, you know, what Trump is doing now is something that could have been predicted. But it still, it doesn't mean it's not disappointing. Doesn't mean it's not, you know, failing to live up to what he needs to get done. And that maybe to me is the most inexplicable thing about it, is that he knows, and we all know, we have Trump's back. We want him to destroy the system. We want him to put our enemies in prison. We need him to put our enemies in prison. We need him to get vengeance on these people, to hold them to account for their crimes, for the damage they've done to our country and us personally. So, like, you know, so what is he scared of? What power outweighs 77 heavily armed American patriots? The pager, a golden pager Netanyahu gave him? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, because Trump could literally come out and say, he could show us, he could say, here's me on the island with Epstein, with kids. He could say, it's true. I'm in the files. I'm on the video. I was tricked by Jeffrey Epstein into sleeping with a girl I thought was 19. She turned out to be 16. And they've been holding this over my head, and I'm not going to let them anymore. And I regret it, and I feel terrible, and I've done everything I can to, you know, help the girl out now. I was an idiot, and I fell for a trap, and they've been using it to distort. But you know what? This isn't about me, and if my reputation has to go down in flames, that's a small price to pay. We need to free America from this level of control. And I understand it, because I was a victim. Like, if he came out and said, do you really think anybody would, wow, we want to be free. We want our country back. We don't want to go to war for Israel. We don't want our quality of life denigrated until we're living in a third world slum surrounded by people who despise us. So what is stopping him? What is stopping Trump? Maybe he's playing a long game. Maybe this is 5D chess. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. And Republicans are just setting us up for absolute abject failure in the midterms. And from that point on, it'll be twiddling our thumbs until Supreme Chancellor Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez puts us all in concentration camps. So it's infuriating, but I don't understand the idea that you would regret voting for Trump because of what's happening with Epstein. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's hugely damaging. I think he's kind of being an idiot, but you think Kamala Harris would release the Epstein files? you think Trump's unable to stand up against Israel, but Kamala Harris and her Jewish husband, they would be the stalwarts who would have the wherewithal and institutional authority to combat the deeply entrenched Israeli influence networks currently running circles around Donald J. Trump. Sure. Sure. It's ridiculous. Let's go to Billy in Oklahoma, because I think he's going to disagree with me. Go ahead, Billy. You're on the air.
Harrison, I won't ask how you're doing, because I know you're doing good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just had an idea for a shirt. Nick Fuentes was right.
About what?
generally, about everything that he's gotten canceled for, I would say. The more time goes on, the more that seems to be true. But I do want to comment on the Epstein files and not get caught off on Nick Fuentes. I think the point that I've heard no one make yet is it's not about the list. It's not about the victims. What did they do with the blackmail? What bills were voted for or not for using the blackmail? What laws have been passed or not passed by using the blackmail? We'll never find that out. And that, everything is a distraction from that.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And that would be a very interesting question to ask. And, you know, that would be the type of thing that you probably use AI pretty efficiently for. You know, if you had all the information and the timing and everything, you could go, okay, correlate decisions, you know, voting decisions versus their appearance on Epstein Island. You could probably get some very interesting correlations there.
Yeah, and that's the kind of information that will never be found out, let alone who was on the island or what they did. The decisions that they made regarding the blackmail will never come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. But, Mario Nofal has a pretty interesting post on this that we'll go to. I don't know. I'm fighting the temptation to keep arguing about whether Nick Fuentes was right. I don't know. Are we at war with Iran, Billy?
No.
No. Does Israel want us to be at war with Iran?
Certainly.
Yeah, but we're not. So is Trump serving Israel with everything he's got?
Certainly so.
Is he? Well, wouldn't we be at war with Iran then?
Yeah. Mm. All right. I concede to that. It was more of just a funny. But
no, I know.
That one kind of fell flat.
I know. But no, I don't know. It is frustrating because, like, we have been right. We have been right the entire time. InfoWars has been right the entire time. We you know, laid out exactly how this would go. And the only thing I, you know, said about Trump was, yeah, he clearly is way too friendly to Israel constantly, all the time, about everything. But he wouldn't get America into direct war with Iran because he doesn't want American people to die, American soldiers to actually pay the ultimate price. And that is a necessary component to the Greater Israel Project because they don't have the manpower. They require American boots on the ground. So as long as he is not putting American boots on the ground to go to war with Iran, then he's not complying with Israel. And he's not, you know, putting their plans forward. He's obviously being way too nice to them. That's because he's an American president, and we got to just get used to that at a certain point. Not really. No, we shouldn't get used to it. In fact, we should probably have a revolution to correct it. But regardless, anybody that says they would have not voted for Trump, like, just spend a minute to think about what that would mean. Just think about what it would be like if we were 7 months into Kamala Harris's administration. And if you think any part of your life would be better because of that, or if that we would be any closer to, like, you know, total victory over the Israeli influence, explain how that happens. Explain how Kamala Harris would have done better than Trump in this regard. It's just a ridiculous idea. Anybody saying they regret voting for Trump, I think, is being a little bit hysterical at this point. Here's what Mario Nofal said. What happened to all the evidence against Epstein? The FBI's chain of custody for evidence is a meticulously documented process designed to ensure integrity, authenticity, and admissibility of physical or digital items from the moment they're collected until they're presented in court or disposed of. It serves as a chronological record that tracks every interaction with the evidence, preventing tampering, contamination, loss, or unauthorized access. This protocol is critical in criminal investigations as any break in the chain can render evidence inadmissible or undermine a case. The process is governed by strict guidelines outlined in resources like the FBI's Handbook of Forensic Sciences, or Services, rather. Each item is documented with details such as date, time, location, collector name, case number, and unique evidence number. For digital evidence like videos or lists, items are sealed in tamper-evident packaging to preserve their state. Photographs or videos of the evidence in situ are often taken for verification. And basically, it's just laying out the incredibly stringent requirements for evidence as collected by the FBI. And then he presents all of the evidence that was collected from Epstein's, you know, temple or island or house or ranch. And how there's just no actual chain of custody for any of this. Official reviews, including a 2025 DOJ FBI memo, confirmed the seizure of over 300 gigabytes of data, including victim images, videos over 10,000 downloaded child sexual abuse materials, and pornography. The FBI's chain of custody protocols makes accidental loss virtually impossible without deliberate interference. Every item should be logged. Transfers require signed forms, digital evidence cataloged in secure databases. And yet, it's all gone. And yet, somehow, it's just all gone. Somehow, it's all gone. Accidental loss, e.g. misplacement, is improbable due to inventories and surveillance. If lost, it would imply somebody accidentally intentionally removed or deleted it with access, intentionally removed or deleted it. E.g. a 2025 whistleblower alleged FBI agents systematically deleted Epstein-linked files, and a 2021 court hearing reveals safe contents temporarily went missing after the raid. But I guess that's the issue when you have agents in the FBI that are getting orders from Mossad. So that's going to happen, I guess. I guess that's just going to happen. And really, you know, it's almost like the reason it's like the most terrifying for me is knowing that I get up every day and talk about Israel being evil and expose the Mossad and you did 8200. And I can just see a future where I'm murdered in cold blood by some Israeli assassins. And if Jeffrey Epstein can't get an appropriate investigation, you think I could? You think I could? You think they'd do a thorough investigation? Or do you think some guy with a black hat shows up on the crime scene and says, this is our crime scene now. We're from the Central Bureau, and this is above your pay grade. And the local police go, ooh, I don't want anything to do with this. See ya. And then they get away with it. I just worry about, in general, the ability of foreign spies to embed themselves in our law enforcement and other federal or local agencies and manipulate evidence and data and information to their own ends and get away with committing crimes. So, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, it's like, if we can't handle that, what else could they get away with? What else could they get up to? What other evidence could go missing from the evidence lockers? What other intelligence community activity could be concealed by the cooperation of the agents inside? And I'll just say on a final note, you know, they say that Jeffrey Epstein downloaded material. I bet he did. And I bet he paid good money for it. I bet you could get their whole networks if you just look into it a little bit.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr.'s loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's gonna take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's gonna go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. And that means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep.
Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we got to maybe try to get
I think it's about the Wing Blue.